H. E. Safety's Common Sense Preparedness, an American Readiness Program. I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome you to the show and let you know what you're in for. Common Sense Preparedness was designed to give the American public the much-needed information on how to manage and respond to any type of disaster we might face, natural, man-made, or personal. We will not tell you who to vote for or talk about conspiracy theories or when the world is going to end, but we'll get you ready in case that does happen. During this show, you'll be exposed to current emergency information from government and non-government sources, and we will talk about the true important information that everyone needs to know. First aid, CPR, what is a tornado, what to do during an earthquake, how to prepare a family emergency plan, a family emergency communication plan, how to hunt, fish, how to build a fire, what to do in case of power outages. The show will be hosted by myself, Tim Howard, and a variety of guests who will come and share their expertise with us. Nowadays, everywhere you look, someone is an expert. Just because someone writes a book or runs a blog does not make them an expert. However, my credentials? Well, they're pretty extensive with over 25 years field experience as a chemical biological warfare instructor, firefighter, correctional safety manager, area safety manager, safety inspector. I have been associated with various federal, state, and local governments. Currently, I'm associated with the FEMA think tank, OSHA field councils, and HE safety consultants. I have received numerous awards and citations throughout my career with the United States Air Force, U.S. Department of Justice, founding member of the United States Department of Homeland Security, and the U.S. Department of Labor. What does this mean? Well, it means you'll get reliable, verifiable information, not paranoia theories. I will share the experiences I have seen in the field since 1986, and I will be able to explain some of the why things are happening. Before we go any further, any information that you hear on this show or find on csp.hesafety.org is to be taken as informational only. We are not legal or medical advisors. We are here to give you alternate information to get you to think about things and use your own common sense to make your decisions. We do suggest that you talk to your personal medical and legal advisors to help you make a well-rounded, informative decision. Our website, csp.hesafety.org, has been designed to give you more information than can be found on this program. The website is free, so stop on by and begin your research with Common Sense Preparedness. You can download or review any of the past shows from our website and comment on any of the news articles that you may see. Also, please show some love to our sponsors. It is because of them we are able to reach you and offer you this life-saving information. Our sponsors have been selected based on the quality of service they offer to our listening audience. They are the vendors that should be of most interest to you. Common Sense Preparedness' mission is not to sell you anything, but instead it is to save as many lives as we can. It is sad to hear about any life being lost when it was avoidable. Remember, a wise man prepares for the darkness while a fool plays. Don't get caught playing. Listen to Common Sense Preparedness at csp.hesafety.org.
Welcome to Common Sense Preparedness with your host, Mike and Bob and Howard.
We had a medical alert issued. Rocky Mountain spotted fever. It has an outbreak, and it's spread across the United States now. Rocky Mountain spotted fever is a bloodborne disease spread by ticks. Now, during the warmer months, it's expected to cause outbreaks in the Rocky Mountain states. That's where it gets its name. And we did have a report back in April of an outbreak in Arizona. However, within 90 days, the disease has spread to Kansas, Illinois, Tennessee, and Arkansas. Ticks are in almost every state of the Union, and the biggest problem is that most people who do not have, don't know what the symptoms of the disease are, and therefore misdiagnose themselves or fail to get early life-saving treatment. The good news here is that you can only get the disease by being bitten by an infected tick. So the proactive preparedness measure here is to control the tick population in your area, either by natural or chemical means. You can also be a you can be proactively checking yourself and family members for tick bites. If you are bitten by a tick and any of the signs of the infection is noticed, then seeking medical attention immediately is necessary. Now, for more information, you can go to cspdb.com. Under our medical reports, we do have a large section on tick bites and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. A report came out this week from Louisiana and showed an increase in mosquito-borne infections in horses. Now, this is an indication that mosquito-borne infections are out there, and awareness should be heightened for these infections becoming human transmitted. Granted, right now the horse population is the focus of the report, but it also confirms that these infection vectors are out there and can attack humans. The report also brings up an interesting idea, the 4D rule for humans. This is a quick rule idea to follow in order to avoid dangerous West Nile virus. Remember, preparedness is a proactive way of ensuring that you and your loved ones don't have to face the effects of West Nile virus. Now, the 4Ds are dusk and dawn, should be the times you are out indoors. DEETS-based mosquito repellent should be used. Dress in light-colored, long-sleeved shirts and pants when outside, and drain any standing water from your area, such as old trees, old tires, flower pots, clogged rain gutters, etc., as these little pools of water are great breeding sites for mosquitoes. Also, check your house for any kind of water leaks, and if it pools on the ground, that will also be a breeding ground for mosquitoes. If you need any more information on this, go to cspdb.com. Hey, let's take a few minutes. I want to talk about the plague, the Black Plague. If you've been watching our website at cspdb.com, you'll notice the plague has been cropping up in the United States, in New Mexico, California, Oregon, Idaho. It's coming all over the place. Now, what's happening is because of the warmer time of the year, fleas are becoming more popular on rodents and animals. And when they become more popular, we have a chance of catching the bubonic plague. Bubonic plague is a hazard, a very high biohazard, a 4.4 on the hazardous scale for CDC. It's viruses and bacteria that causes severe to fatal diseases in humans, and for which vaccines and other treatable treatments are not available. Some of these diseases are bovine in Argentina hemorrhagic fever, H5N1 or the bird flu, dengue, Lassa, hantavirus, Ebola virus, and the Black Plague. There is some things you can do to avoid this, especially this time of year. It's a bacteria that's on a bacterial disease of rodents. It generally transmits to humans through the bites of infected fleas, but it can also be transmitted by direct contact with the infected animal, including rodents, rabbits, and pets. Usually it's the feces. If you inhale the feces, you can catch it. If they bite you, you can catch it. So there's a lot of ways transmission can happen here. Now, some symptoms of the plague in humans include sudden onset of fever, chills, headaches, and weakness. In most cases, there's a painful swelling of the lymph nodes in the groin or armpit or the necks. Plague symptoms in cats and dogs are fever, lethargic, loss of appetite. So if your animal starts to see this, and there might be some swelling of the lymph nodes under the jaw, when you see this in your animals, you need to get them to the vet to find out if they have the plague or not. If you see it in yourself or other humans in the area, you need to be watchful because this can be transmitted. Check our website at cspdb.com for more information on how to prevent the plague and what to look for. We had a Homeland Security report about an EMP threat. There's an article coming out in the Washington Times that exposed the fact that North Korea may be experimenting with EMP weapons. This information is being verified by the Chinese military. Maybe a solar flare or a CME is not a real EMP threat, but here on Earth, we have governments waiting to wage war on the free world. What would be the effect of an EMP weapon being utilized in the U.S.? Well, You can forget about electronics, TV, cell phones, and GPS. The internet would be disrupted also. The article does mention that there would be a small tactical nuclear explosion along with the EMP pulse. So now, the effects open up a whole new can of worms. Decom procedures, radiation sickness, plus the physical damage of ground zero and those around it. An EMP threat is very real. Whether it comes from the sun or from a terrestrial source, our family emergency plans must take into consideration how to handle the EMP pulse and its aftermath. The report reads, North Korea may be developing electromagnetic pulse weapons or bombs that could take out power grids, not to mention military and civilian electronics. Such speculation comes from the Chinese military analyst article in the journal Behind, according to the Washington Times. The Chinese military pointed out that North Korea has always planned to develop small nuclear weapons capable of creating such EMPs, likely targeted at South Korea and U.S. military forces based in the southern half of the Korean Peninsula. The possibility of using EMP as a weapon along those arose during the early days of the U.S. and Soviet nuclear testing during the Cold War. Nuclear blasphemies tests created EMPs as a secondary effect that led to some unexpected damages to civilian power grids and facilities. Several countries, such as the U.S., have also investigated the possibility of making EMP weapons that did require nuclear blasts. While North Korea's weapon-making efforts have recently focused on expanding this nuclear arsenal. If you want more information or read the full article, you can follow it at cspdb.com. You are listening to Common Sense Preparedness, American Readiness Program, right here on PBS Radio. This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Health Operation Team, preparing one person, one community, one country at a time. Providing awareness, education, training, resources, and medical support, health care, and emergency preparedness planning, both domestic and international. Please go to their website at www.hoteam.org, hotteam.org, and see where they have been, where they are, and where they're going. Or give them a call at 678-431-8914. Once again, that is 678-431-8914. And let them know you heard it on Common Sense Preparedness. Also, follow them on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. That's hotteam.org, your source for helping individuals, families, businesses, and communities be safer and healthier. Common Sense Preparedness brought to you in part by PatriotMusic.com.
America is known the world over for its passion for freedom and individual rights. If you love your country as much as I do, and if you'd like to hear great music inspiring this passion, check out PatriotMusic.com. Download music from three great albums, including a new album just released, with a cover you won't forget. PatriotMusic.com.
Hi, this is Matt Fitzgibbons with PatriotMusic.com. You're listening to Common Sense Preparedness with Tim Howard.
This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Rocky Mountain Survival Gear, your complete source for all things camping and prepping. They recognize the need of many people in the United States struggling to put together survival packs, not knowing where to start or what they need. So Rocky Mountain Survival Gear will be offering customized bug out bags, emergency kits, and 72-hour bags to fit your specific needs. All you need to do is click on the items you need, and they'll put it together for you. Remember, once a disaster strikes, it's too late to prepare. So prepare now for the future with Rocky Mountain Survival Gear. Contact them at www.rockymountainsurvivalgear.com or give them a call at 720-244-9701. Once again, that's 720-244-9701. Yeah, special announcement. Tucson, Arizona is going to have its first annual Survivalist Prepper Expo. On August 11th, 2012, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., the Arizona Survivalist Prepper Expo will be going to Tucson, Arizona at the Tucson Expo Center located on Irvington Road. The show is open to any interested in the movement sweeping across the United States. Come out and buy from many of Arizona's vendors visit with experts and meet other like-minded citizens that are equally interested in helping protect themselves, their families, from any unexpected black swan event. This unique one-day show is a must-attend event for the entire family. Vendors will be displaying and selling the following: freeze-dried foods, MREs, ideas on food availability at a grocery store, canning equipment, supplies, storage options, water barrels, food-grade buckets, military surplus equipment and clothing, camping equipment, survival gardening seeds, supplies, ideas, bug-out bags, suggestions and supplies, solar ovens, solar kits, solar ideas, educational seminars, books, manuals, and literature, emergency medical equipment and first aid supplies, fuel storage and battery supplies and ideas, propane cooking equipment, utensils, etc., water filtration equipment and supplies, plus many other items of interest. Common Sense Preparedness Digital Radio Talk Show will be speaking at the event on various preparedness topics. So come join us for a guaranteed fun time. Admission for the event is $10 per adult and $5 per child. Children under 5 are free, of course. For more information, please contact Lance Baker at 480-229-5691. Once again, that's 480-229-5691. Or email him at lancebaker1964@gmail.com. Or visit cspdv.com for a link to the show and its information. You are listening to Common Sense Preparedness, American Readiness Program, right here on BBS Radio. Okay, let's talk a little bit about volcanoes. A volcano is an opening or rupture in the planet's surface or crust, which allows hot magma, which is called lava, or volcanic ash, and gases to escape from below the surface of the Earth. They are one of Earth's most dramatic and violent agents of change. Not only can their powerful explosive eruptions drastically alter land and water for many miles around the volcano, but tiny little droplets of sulfuric acid that erupts with the volcano into the stratosphere can change our planet's climate temporarily. Eruptions often force people living near the volcano to abandon their land and homes, sometimes forever. Those living further away are likely to avoid complete destruction, but their cities and towns, crops, industrial plants, transportation system, electrical grid can still be damaged by the particles in the air, the ash, the mud flows, the flooding, all kinds of stuff. And although volcanic hazards are triggered directly by an eruption, some occur when a volcano is just quiet. A volcano is most commonly a conical hill or mountain built around a vent that connects with reservoirs of molten rock below the surface of the earth. The term volcano also refers to an opening or vent through which molten rock and associated gases are expelled. Now, driven by the buoyancy and gas pressure of molten rock, which is lighter than the surrounding solid rock, it forces its way up and may ultimately break through zones of weakness in the Earth's crust. Thus, you have a volcanic eruption. If this happens, an eruption begins, and the molten rock may pour from vents as non-explosive lava flows, or it may shoot violently into the air as dense clouds of lava fragments. Larger fragments of the volcano fall back around the vent, but can come down the hill as lava flows underneath it. Some of the finer ejected material may be carried by the wind, only to fall to the ground many miles away. The finest ash particles may be ejected miles into the atmosphere and carried many times around the world by the stratosphere winds before settling out. Volcanoes are generally found where tectonic plates are moving away from each other and meeting each other. A mid-oceanic ridge, for example, the Mid-Atlantic Ridge, has examples of volcanoes caused by these tectonic plates pulling apart. The Pacific Rim, or the Ring of Fire, are examples of volcanoes being caused by the tectonic plates coming together. By contrast, volcanoes are usually not created by two tectonic plates side by side when they slide past each other. Volcanoes can also be formed where there is a stretching or thinning of the Earth's crust from the interiors of plates. The East African Rim and the Wales Gray Clearwater Volcanic Ridge are examples of this. I guess the best way to describe this type of volcanic field is like acne on the face of the Earth. There you go, acne on the face of the Earth. Erupting volcanoes can pose many hazards, not only to the immediate vicinity of the eruption. Volcanic ash can be a threat to aircraft, in particular those with jet engines, where ash particles can be melted at the high operating temperatures. Large eruptions can affect temperatures of ash, and droplets of sulfuric acid obscure the sun and cools the Earth's lower atmosphere or troposphere. However, they can also absorb heat radiating up from the Earth, thereby warming the stratosphere. Historically, these so-called volcanic winters have caused catastrophic famines around the world. The word volcano is derived from the name of Vulcano, a Vulcan island in Italy, whose name in turn originates from Vulcan. Here's for my Star Trek fans out there. Vulcan is the name of the god of fire for Roman mythology. Volcanic eruptions can hurl rocks at least 20 miles away. Floods, airborne ash, or noxious fumes can spread hundreds of miles away. If you live near a known volcano, active or dormant, be ready to evacuate at a moment's notice. The best advice you can get. Now, volcanoes can be classified into three classes: active, dormant, or extinct. These terms can be taken in the relative sense. Many volcanoes, although they have not erupted for many decades and are not currently erupting today, still may not be considered dormant if there is activity underground. Volcanoes would have to register no activity for a very long time to be considered dormant. At the same time, some volcanoes are extremely active. At least 20 volcanoes will probably be erupting as you hear this broadcast. Italy, Peru, Indonesia, Hawaii. The point is that volcanoes are erupting every day, all over the world. So you must keep up to date on what's happening in your area. CSP.hesafety.org has links to the National Geological Survey, who monitors these volcanoes that are active. Many people live in the vicinity of active volcanoes. They continually have to be on guard for their lives. Will there be an eruption today? Will I have enough time to find safety? These questions bring the topic of volcano prediction to be extremely important. Scientists can study a volcano's past eruptions to help predict future activities. You know, areas affected by lava flows and debris flows can be mapped, making this disaster planning more effective. In addition to this type of long-range forecasting, scientists are becoming more and more skilled at spotting the warning signs of an eruption, so we're getting better as time goes on. Before an eruption, magma moves into an area beneath the volcano and collects in a magma chamber, or reservoir. As it comes closer to the surface, the magma releases gases. These events can offer valuable clues about the likelihood of an eruption. For example, the movement of magma produces small earthquakes and vibrations. Magma gathering in the chamber causes slight swelling of the volcano's slopes. Gases released near the volcano can be measured for changes in quality, makeup, and stuff like this. So volcanologists are becoming very skilled at predicting the likelihood of an eruption. Still, a number of barriers remain. It's very difficult to pinpoint exactly when an eruption will happen. Often, moving magma doesn't result in an eruption, but instead cools below the surface. Monitoring potential eruptions is expensive, but if lives can be saved, it's well worth the expense. As with budget cuts going on, we know that the monitoring of volcanoes is going to take a hit for it. So we've got to be careful, and we've got to be on top of what the statuses are. Now, with many volcanoes erupting only every few hundred years or 1,000 years, it's not possible to monitor every site. Volcano eruptions don't occur without warning, though. However, with this in mind, steps should be taken to prepare for a possible eruption should you live near a potential active volcano. So the key here is to find out where is the closest active volcano. It doesn't have to be in your neighborhood. It could be hundreds of miles away, and you still can be affected. You are listening to Common Sense Preparedness, American Readiness Program, right here on BBS Radio. This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Health Operation Team, preparing one person, one community, one country at a time. Providing awareness, education, training, resources, and medical support, health care, and emergency preparedness planning, both domestic and international. Please go to their website at www.hoteam.org, hotteam.org, and see where they have been, where they are, and where they're going. Or give them a call at 678-431-8914. Once again, that is 678-431-8914. And let them know you heard it on Common Sense Preparedness. Also, follow them on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. That's hotteam.org, your source for helping individuals, families, businesses, and communities be safer and healthier. Yeah, special announcement. Tucson, Arizona is going to have its first annual Survivalist Prepper Expo. On August 11th, 2012, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., the Arizona Survivalist Prepper Expo will be going to Tucson, Arizona, at the Tucson Expo Center, located on Irvington Road. The show is open to any interested in the Prepper movement sweeping across the United States. Come out and buy from many of Arizona's vendors, visit with experts, and meet other like-minded citizens that are equally interested in helping protect themselves, their families, from any unexpected Black Swan event. This unique one-day show is a must-attend event for the entire family. Vendors will be displaying and selling the following: freeze-dried foods, MREs, ideas on food availability at a grocery store, canning equipment, supplies, storage options, water barrels, food-grade buckets, military surplus equipment and clothing, camping equipment, survival gardening seeds, supplies, ideas, dugout bags, suggestions and supplies, solar ovens, solar kits, solar ideas, educational seminars, books, manuals, and literature, emergency medical equipment and first aid supplies, fuel storage and battery supplies and ideas, propane cooking equipment, utensils, etc., water filtration equipment and supplies, plus many other items of interest. Common Sense Preparedness Digital Radio Talk Show will be speaking at the event on various preparedness topics. So come join us for guaranteed fun time. Admission for the event is $10 per adult and $5 per child. Children under 5 are free, of course. For more information, please contact Lance Baker at 480-229-5691. Once again, that's 480-229-5691. Or email him at lancebaker1964@gmail.com. Or visit cspdv.com for a link to the show and its information. This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Pure Hydration Water Purification Systems. Rocky Mountain Survival Gear is now the sole U.S. distributor of Pure Hydration Water Purification Systems, which uses no chemicals, has no wait time, and can be filled from any natural water source. The purifier eliminates pathogens, viruses, bacteria, chemicals, heavy metals, fecal matter, sediment, bad taste, and odors, and quickly turns potentially contaminated water into safe and clean drinking water. Pure Hydration offers their purifiers in 6 different personal carrier modules for every outdoor endeavor. For more information, contact Rocky Mountain Survival Gear at www.rockymountainsurvivalgear.com or give them a call at 720-244-9701. Once again, that number is 720-244-9701.
This is James Smith, the Covert Prepper. Have you ever wanted to make sure you had the right news? You want to avoid all that hassle of going through fluff piece after fluff piece and politician talking about another politician? Well, you can. Visit Prepper Podcast Radio Network News, PPRNnews.com. We're the number one site for preppers to get their news. You want to know about the tyranny going on in the world? PPRNnews.com. You want to know about disaster? PPRNnews.com. From disaster, finance, extreme weather, tyranny, the unrest in the Middle East, in America, in Asia, we are the number one source that people come to get the news that matters most to preppers. The Prepper Podcast Radio Network News. Visit us today, put us on your favorite, and visit us often. I guarantee you will not be sorry.
You are listening to Common Sense Preparedness, an American Readiness Program, right here on PBS Radio. Now here's a newest song from Matt Fitzgibbon to PatriotMusic.com.
Said that she needed me. The funny thing is, on my birthday, just the week before, I went downtown in my only suit and joined the fight for war. My father, he fought in World War I. He said, "You're up free." Mr. Wilson said he'd fight and spread democracy, and he was on his way across the sea to fight for some stranger's liberty, and he didn't know if he'd be back again. He just hoped that they would remember the American man. Wounded in 45, and my brother, he went to Tarawa, didn't come back alive. All of my town remembers his smile before he left for the war, and I miss my brother so much, and God, he loved the Corps. We were on our way across the sea to fight for some stranger's liberty, and we didn't know if we'd be back again. We just hoped that they would remember the Americans. So many souls have offered their lives for strangers in need, and no one can know it's worth like the ones who've been free. Well, I skipped Korea, but my son was sent to Vietnam. Made it home and had a daughter who's grown to look just like her mom. She graduates from the Naval Academy in the spring of next year. You'll never meet anyone smarter. She's so fortress liberty, and we won't know if she'll be back again. We just hope that you will remember the Americans.
Now, one of the first things you want to do to be on top of activity with the volcano is get to know the volcano alert levels. We have them posted on the website. There are four of them: normal, advisory, watch, and warning. Now, normal, volcano is in typically background, non-eruptive state, or after a change from a higher level, volcanic activity has ceased and the volcano has returned to a non-eruptive background state. The next alert level is an advisory. An advisory means a volcano is exhibiting signs of elevated unrest above known background levels. Volcanic activity has decreased significantly, but continues to be closely monitored for possible renewed increased activity. Now, a volcano watch. Volcano is exhibiting heightened or escalated unrest with increased potentials of eruption, or eruption is underway but poses limited hazards. And then the final one, warning, the most serious. Hazardous eruptions is imminent, underway, or suspected. You have a warning volcano alert, time to get to higher ground. Also, because of volcano ash can devastate aircraft, the aviation industry has come up with aviation color codes for volcanoes. They are green, yellow, orange, and red. So if you hear of an aviation color code for a volcano, you'll understand what they mean. Now, green is volcano is typically in background, non-eruptive state. Yellow is exhibiting signs of elevated unrest above known background levels. Orange is an exhibit heightened or escalated unrest. And red, eruption is imminent with significant emission of volcanic ash into the atmosphere. So you don't want to hear red, aviation code. Now that we know a little bit about volcanoes and what to expect and the color codes, what can we do to prepare for one? Well, if you live in the area, you want to be prepared for disasters that can be spawned from a volcano. Earthquakes, flash floods, landslides, thunderstorms, tsunamis, the ash fall, and acid rain. Your family emergency plan becomes very important here. You need to make sure you have evacuation plans in place. Everyone in the family knows about it. You want to plan to get to a higher ground right away from an eruption. Practice it every 6 months. How long does it take you to get to higher ground, to a safe zone? Plan a route out of the area and have a backup route in mind, because it can be congested. If it's too congested, you need to have an alternate or a third possible evacuation route. Also, you want to develop an emergency communication plan with your family. In case family members are separated or what during one of these volcano eruptions, which is a real possibility, have a plan of where we're going to meet to get together. If we have to evacuate, and Dad's at work, and the kids are at school, and we can't get together at the house, where's our safe zone, and where are we going to meet at? What tree? What church? What public building in the safe zone? Also, ask an out-of-state relative if someone is not in the area, a friend, to serve as a family contact. After a disaster, it's a lot easier to get a hold of somebody long distance than it is in an immediate area, because they're going to be disrupted also. So a family contact to say, hey, I'm okay, this is what's going on, and make sure everyone knows that. Nowadays, what we're finding out with all the internet and telecommunication cell phones, it's a lot easier to use text messaging to identify, hey, I'm okay, I'm located here, or update your status request, or whatever the case may be. You have to have some type of communication prior to an eruption to identify, hey, this is what we're going to happen. If we're separated, I'm going to update this, or I'll text you. Use text messaging and status updates instead of phone calls. Reason being, too many phone calls, the phone network is going to go down. Text messaging and internet updates are short packages. It doesn't take that much to send them out. Also, before the eruption, Although it may seem safe to stay at home and wait it out, if you are in a hazard zone or you're really too close to that volcano, doing so could be extremely dangerous. So stay safe. If you're too close to that volcano, follow the authorities' instructions and put your disaster plan into action. Now, some items we want to look at for stocking in a volcanic eruption, or if you're in the area, is one, dust mask and eye protection. You're going to need N95 dust masks after any type of eruption, and you're going to need a lot of them, not just three per person. You're going to need about five or six. You're going to need at least 7 days of drinking water and non-perishable food for each family member. And don't forget about your pets. They're going to need that stuff too. Plastic wrap to keep the ash out of electronics. Battery-operated radio and extra batteries. I'm going to say go with solar or hand-crank radios and flashlights. If you're in a cold environment, extra wood for the fireplace or stove. And extra blankets and warm clothing. You want to put this stuff away prior to a eruption so you know where it's at. Also, you want to take a look at extra stocks of medication for both family and pets. Make sure you have a first aid kit. Cleaning supplies. You're going to want to have a stash of cleaning supplies just for a volcano. Brooms, vacuum cleaner, bags, filters, shovels, etc. Also, because you're going to probably lose your electrical grid in a volcano, small amounts of cash, because ATMs will not be working. And let's not go crazy with the money, because people are going to get funky during an emergency. So you don't want them to know you have thousands of dollars. You'll lose thousands of dollars. Also, one last thing you want to take a look at is stocking your emergency kit in your vehicles. You could be in your vehicle when this happens, so you're going to need some type of supplies in your vehicle also. Now, when you know a eruption is about to happen, or you go into a yellow warning, orange warning, some actions you want to take right away is close doors and windows. Place damp towels at door thresholds and other draft sources, windows. Tape windows shut, so you're going to need masking tape. Protect sensitive electronics and do not uncover them until the environment is totally ash-free. Disconnect drain pipes, downspouts from gutters to stop drains from clogging and putting ash and water all over the ground. If you use rainwater collector systems for your water supply, disconnect the tank prior to the ash falling. If you have chronic bronchitis, emphysema, or asthma, stay inside and avoid unnecessary exposure to the ash. It's going to hurt you. Ensure livestock have clean food and water to take while we're in the ash cloud. If you have children, know your school's emergency plan and have indoor games and activities ready for the children. You don't want the children out in the ash. You want to avoid the ash as much as possible. If ordered to evacuate or your area becomes a danger zone, evacuate the higher ground immediately. Now, during an eruption, some of the things you want to do is, if you're indoors, close all windows, doors, and dampers. Put all machinery inside garages and barns. Bring your animals and livestock into closed shelters. If you're trapped outdoors when this eruption happens, seek shelter indoors immediately. If caught in a rock fall, roll into a ball and protect your head. Avoid low-lying areas where poisonous gas can collect and flash floods could be most dangerous. If caught near a stream, beware of mud flows. Move upslope, especially if you hear the roar of a mud flow coming. And actually, try not to panic. With knowledge, you can survive this. Also, you want to try and protect yourself. So wear long-sleeve shirts and pants. Use your goggles to protect your eyes. Use a dust mask, or if you don't have a dust mask available, hold a damp cloth over your face to help breathing. Keep cars and truck engines off as much as possible to avoid sucking in all that ash. Stay out of the area. And blasts from a volcano can travel many miles from the mountain. So you want to try and get away as fast as possible and as far as possible. Now, trying to stop and watch a volcano while it's erupting is a deadly idea. The safest place to watch a volcano erupt is on TV, far, far away from the volcano. Now, also, you want to stay out of the area defined as a restricted zone by the government officials. I know. However, they've got a broader scope of what's going on, and the effect of the volcano eruption can be experienced many miles away from a volcano. So mud flows, flash flooding, things, wildfires. Things are deadly. They will restrict areas. A little bit about mud flows, though. If you see water level in a stream begin to rise, quickly move to higher ground. A mud flow is a powerful river of mud that can move 20 to 40 miles per hour, much faster than people can walk or run. Hot ash or lava from a volcanic eruption can rapidly melt snow and ice at the summit of the volcano. This melted water quickly mixes with fallen ash, soil from the lower slopes, and debris that's in its path. This turbulent mixture is dangerous in stream channels and can travel more than 50 miles away from a volcano. Also, intense rainfall can erode fresh volcanic deposits to form another type of mud flow. Mud flows can also occur when rain falls through the ash-carrying clouds or when rivers are dammed during an eruption. They are most dangerous close to stream channels. So basically, after a volcano, you want to stay away from any kind of river or dams or streams. When you approach a bridge, first, look upstream. If a mud flow is approaching or moving beneath the bridge, do not cross that bridge. The power of the mud flow will destroy that bridge very quickly. Now, after a volcanic eruption, one, you want to stay away from any kind of ash fall. If the ash is falling, stay inside. However, when you're outside, cover your mouth and nose. Volcanic ash can irritate your respiratory system. Wear goggles to protect your eyes. Keep skin covered to avoid irritation from contact with the ash. Clear your roofs of ashfall. Ashfall is very heavy and can cause buildings to collapse. Exercise great caution when working on your roof, though. You also want to try to avoid driving in heavy ashfall. Driving will stir up even more ash and can clog engines and stall your vehicle. If you have any respiratory ailments, avoid contact with any amount of ash. Stay indoors until local health officials advise you it's safe to go outside. Now, journey ashfall. Don't panic. Try and stay calm as much as possible. Stay indoors. If you're outside when the ash begins to fall, seek shelter immediately. In your car, in a building, wherever you can get shelter. Use a mask, handkerchief, or cloth to cover your mouth and nose. If warning is given before the ash starts to fall, go home from work. Get home and prepare to shelter in place. If you're at work and the ash starts to fall and you're not gone yet, you must shelter it where you're at until the ash is settled. And also, your emergency communication plan kicks into effect here. Do not make unnecessary phone calls. Listen to the radio for information about the eruption and cleanup plans. Now, if you wear contact lenses, take them out. If you leave them in, it will result in abrasions to the cornea. Water supply. If there's ash in your water, let it settle. And then use the clear water. If there is a lot of ash in a water supply, do not use your dishwasher or washing machine. It will break them. Water contaminated by ash will usually make drinking water unpalatable before it presents a health risk. If you have a vegetable garden outside in an ash fall, wash off all vegetables before you eat them. You are listening to Common Sense Preparedness, an American Readiness Program, right here on BBS Radio. A special announcement. Tucson, Arizona is going to have its first annual Survivalist Prepper Expo. On August 11th, 2012, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., the Arizona Survivalist Prepper Expo will be going to Tucson, Arizona at the Tucson Expo Center located on Irvington Road. The show is open to any interested in the prepper movement sweeping across the United States. Come out and buy from many of Arizona's vendors, visit with experts, and meet other like-minded citizens that are equally interested in helping protect themselves, their families, from any unexpected Black Swan event. This unique one-day show is a must-attend event for the entire family. Vendors will be displaying and selling the following: freeze-dried foods, MREs, ideas on food availability at a grocery store, canning equipment, supplies, storage options, water barrels, food-grade buckets, military surplus equipment and clothing, camping equipment, survival gardening seeds, supplies, ideas, bug-out bags, suggestions and supplies, solar ovens, solar kits, solar ideas, educational seminars, books, manuals, and literature, emergency medical equipment and first aid supplies, fuel storage and battery supplies and ideas, propane cooking equipment, utensils, etc., water filtration equipment and supplies, plus many other items of interest. Common Sense Preparedness Digital Radio Talk Show. We'll be speaking at the event on various preparedness topics. So come join us for guaranteed fun time. Admission for the event is $10 per adult and $5 per child. Children under 5 are free, of course. For more information, please contact Lance Baker at 480-229-5691. Once again, that's 480-229-5691. Or email him at lancebaker1964@gmail.com. Or visit cspdv.com for a link to the show and its information.
This is James Smith, the Covert Prepper, telling you about the Covert Prepper Show. If you want to learn how to hide your food, your weapons, your water, your dear-needed medical supplies, then tune in onto Blog Talk Radio. Look for Prepper Podcast Radio Network. Look for the Covert Prepper. I'm there 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Central Time, Saturday nights, where you can listen to me tell you how I figured out how I can hide my stuff. I share this with you. And I'm also undergoing a series called 300 Days to Doomsday. This is where I get people ready to, well, be ready for a doomsday. That doomsday could be the end of the world, or it could be simply as, well, you lose your job. Or even worse than that, you lose your number one provider, your spouse. So listen in and visit www.thecovertprepper.com today.
This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Health Operation Team, preparing one person, one community, one country at a time, providing awareness, education, training, resources, and medical support, health care, and emergency preparedness planning, both domestic and international. Please go to their website at www.hoteam.org, hotteam.org, and see where they have been, where they are, and where they're going. Or give them a call at 678-431-8914. Once again, that is 678-431-8914. And let them know you heard it on Common Sense Preparedness. Also, follow them on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. That's hotteam.org, your source for helping individuals, families, businesses, and communities be safer and healthier. This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Pure Hydration Water Purification Systems. Rocky Mountain Survival Gear is now the sole U.S. distributor of Pure Hydration Water Purification Systems, which uses no chemicals, has no wait time, and can be filled from any natural water source. The purifier eliminates pathogens, viruses, bacteria, chemicals, heavy metals, fecal matter, sediment, bad taste, and odors, and quickly turns potentially contaminated water into safe and clean drinking water. Pure Hydration offers their purifiers in 6 different personal carrier modules for every outdoor endeavor. For more information, contact Rocky Mountain Survival Gear at www.rockymountainsurvivalgear.com or give them a call at 720-244-9701. Once again, that number is 720-244-9701. You are listening to Common Sense Preparedness, American Readiness Program, right here on BBS Radio. Thank you for tuning in to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness, American Readiness Program. You may be found at the web at csp.hesafety.org. Remember, a wise man prepares for the darkness while a fool plays. Don't get caught playing. Tune in to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness.
Tools so that no one
control is using both hands. Founders knew the Second Amendment was the final one to keep, to hold our other rights intact so we'd never become sheep. Stalin, Hitler, Mao, Amin, and Pol Pot, they told us things that you never forgot. You teach the lessons to your daughters and sons, to fear the government, to fear your guns. Now the new world order crew, well, they're making their demands. Don't feel safe if you are wrong. You say gun control is using both hands. Using both hands.